I'm going to read the first half of the verse, and everybody in unison is going, because it's going to be the same throughout this entire chapter. So we'll try it out for the first. We'll try it out for the first verse and see how it goes. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. There we go. Okay, we're going to probably get better as we go through this. We'll get better as we go through this. That's right. That's what I'm going to be. So as soon as I'm done with the first half of the verse, I'm just going to point to you, and you guys just say, and for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him who alone does great wonders. To him who by wisdom made the heavens. To Him who laid out the earth above the waters. To Him who made great lights. The sun to rule the day. The moon and stars to rule by night. To Him who struck Egypt and their firstborn. And brought out Israel from among them. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two. And made Israel pass through the midst of it. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To Him who led His people through the wilderness. To Him who struck down great kings. And slew famous kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan. And gave their land as a heritage. A heritage to Israel, His servant. Who remembered us in our lowly state. And rescued us from our enemies. Who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. For His mercy endures forever. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this night. We thank You, Lord, that we can come out here, we can gather together around Your word, Lord, and that we can sing praises to You, Lord. We can lift our voices to You, and certainly, Lord, that we can reflect on the goodness of God, Lord, and certainly the things that You've done for us. As we call into remembrance, Lord, all of the times in our lives, even the times now, Lord, where You have come through in such miraculous ways here, Lord. I pray, Lord, Father, that You would be with us here this evening. I pray, Lord, that You would just bless this night, anoint this night, Lord. Anoint Your word, Lord, and certainly the word of the testimony of the saints here, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This psalm is busted up into, broken down into four sections. The first three verses, it's who God is. And then verses 4 through 9, it's the creation. It's why we should praise the Lord as a result of creation. And then from 10 to verse 22, it's to praise Him as the deliverer of Israel. And then in verses 23 to 26, He's also Christ our Redeemer. He's the Lord our Redeemer. And so it's important for us to, as we go through, this psalm stands alone in this sense. You've heard it said, often said, you know, the word certainly says in certain places that vain repetition is not really what the Lord is looking for in our prayers. You understand? Like, so how many people here know what's known to be the Lord's Prayer? Okay, everybody knows the Lord's Prayer, but that's really our prayer. You understand that? That's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not something that the Lord would pray. Do you understand? You know, so it's a, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. The Lord would never ask for forgiveness for trespasses. You understand that? He wouldn't ask for forgiveness for sins. So that's our prayer. If you want to get into the Lord's Prayer, you should memorize John 17, because that's the real Lord's Prayer. But in this particular sense, this is not just repetition for the sake of repeating. This is the psalmist making a point. This is the psalmist wanting to drive home a point. And if there's any one way to drive home a point, it's to repeat it. There's all sorts of things throughout the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, that the Lord has to repeat to us over and over and over again. There are things that we read throughout the Gospels, certainly that Paul would reiterate in a couple of his letters. There are things sometimes where we need to hear it again. We need to be reminded of them. I'm so glad that he's given us his word so that we can read these things to be reminded of the truths that he's given to us. Be reminded of who he is and how we're supposed to be and how we can be now through the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit, that we can actually do the things that we were incapable of doing prior to Christ coming into our lives. But if there is one attribute, you guys know, if you've ever done a study on the attributes of the Holy Spirit or the attributes of Christ or the attributes of God, if there is one attribute that all of the scripture really tries to encapsulate and show us through the Trinity of the Godhead, is that God is merciful. You understand? That he is merciful. If there is one attribute, it's my favorite attribute of God, is that he is merciful. And that, you know, we don't oftentimes, we'll pray in ways because we feel either hurt or despondent or distant, or we feel that, you know, we're going through a season in our lives where we feel as if we're getting something that we don't deserve, where we're being treated poorly or unfairly, or we're going through a difficult time where we don't think we're, you know, we go to God and we say, God, why is this happening to me? Especially in this season of our lives. I know, you know, I've spoken to a lot of people in our church, and, you know, there's a small group here tonight, but, you know, I've spoken to not just those here, but in other people who come to our fellowship on Sunday. You speak to them and, you know, everybody's kind of going through their own personal warfare right now. Everybody. For whatever reason, everybody's kind of going through their own personal spiritual warfare, going through having to endure certain things that are pressing them. And all too often times, what we can do is we can go to God and we can say, God, why is this happening? Why is this going on? Why is this happening to me now? And we forget. We forget to really take a look at our lives and remember what it is and where it is that he's brought us from. We forget to thank the Lord for who he actually is. We forget to thank the Lord. Even, you know, all too often times, I ask myself this often, is salvation enough to be thankful for? Of course, it is. It's a resounding yes. Salvation is more than enough to be thankful for. Being brought and crossing over from death and being brought into his glorious light is more than enough to be thankful for. You understand? That Paul would ask for things. Paul would ask for a thorn in the flesh to be removed. Not just once, not just twice. He would ask three times for a thorn in the flesh, for some sort of ailment. It was a thorn in the flesh. It was not some spiritual thing. It's not something he was struggling with. It was a thorn in his flesh. That's what he said. But he would ask for that ailment to be removed. And three times, God said, what? No. No. Why? Because my grace is sufficient. Paul knows the reason. Paul says, the reason I've been given this thorn in the flesh is to keep me from being puffed up with pride. So God had to send him a messenger of Satan, is what he says, to keep him down a little bit. Just to kind of rub him out, just a little bit. So what does Paul do? He thanks the Lord for that. He does, because he knows that even in that, God is working out something better in Paul, because he can never do anything through you until he does more in you. You understand? He's never more concerned about the ministry than he is the minister. He's always more concerned about what he's doing and the work he's doing in you more than the work he's doing through you and to anybody else around you that may be affected by you in your life and the blessing that you bring them. Because what we can't do is say, God, you shouldn't be treating me this way because look at what I'm doing for you. Because that's what happens a lot of times. If we're honest, I mean, that's how we can go to the Lord sometimes. And we can say, Lord, why is this happening? Look at what I'm doing. I mean, don't you see? I pray. I give to the church. I mean, I didn't even spank my kids today. I mean, that's how good I'm doing. I mean, we don't even know. My kids are obeying. Everybody's obeying. Everyone's doing great. But we've got to be careful with that. We've got to be careful with that. Real quick, I'm going to turn to the Gospel of Luke. You can turn there with me if you want. Luke 18. Keep your finger here at Psalm. We're going to turn back here. And in verse 9, it says, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God," listen to what he thanks for. This is what he thanks for. This is what he's thankful for. He says, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." It's one of my favorite parables in the Bible. One of my favorite. Because you can really see the heart of the religious Pharisee. You can see the heart of the person who thinks that God owes him something. You can see the heart of the person who really thinks that they're going to go and present themselves before God, and God is going to say, "Yeah, that's my boy. You did everything perfect, everything right." It amazes me because, you know, as we're going through the Gospel of John on Sundays, as we're going through that, you know, the Lord parades the Samaritan woman by the well in front of us as somebody who's justified. The Lord parades this tax collector, this skag of society, the one that was looked down upon by everybody that he knew, by probably his entire family. His whole community hated him, but the Lord parades him in front of us and gives us the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector to kind of correct our thinking sometimes. It corrects me. It corrects me all the time. That I go to the Lord and I say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And that is it. I have nothing to bring you except for my sinful heart. And you leave from that interaction with Christ justified. Justified according to his word. And so just when we think that we don't have anything to be thankful for, just when we think that just because we're going through a difficult time in our life, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." He's good. Because listen, and this is where I can get, you got to pray for me, because this is where I get really, really carnal when I start thinking with my stomach. God is good. God is really good. God is so good that he forgives me all of my iniquities, all my transgressions, all my sin are cast as far as the east is from the west. All of our, we've been completely and totally redeemed, washed white in the blood of the Lamb, cleansed, purified, justified, glorified, sanctified, seated with him in heavenly places, according to his word. And then he made chocolate so good. And then he made chocolate good. Listen, this is the truth. Because these are the common graces. Anybody who says that God is not good, listen to me. This is the common grace that was afforded to Cain right after he killed his brother. God didn't take his life. He let him go and procreate. He let him go marry. He let him go fill the earth and multiply the earth and create towns and cities and be the bearer of people who knew how to make metal, make music, make armies. The common grace that he affords to the entire world, because the rain falls on who? The just and the unjust. Because he causes it to rain on the just and the unjust, he gives food to the people who deny his very existence. He allows them to enter into matrimony, wedded bliss, experience intimacy, have children, get a job, get money, enjoy life. And they push him out. But he's good. He's still good and merciful. For his mercy endures how long? Forever. We'll be looking into that forever. Forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, he repeats it again. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. And a third time, oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Be thankful. Isn't it so easy to be ungrateful? Even in Christ, it's so easy sometimes to just be ungrateful. It's so easy. It is sometimes, even in our own carnality, it's so easy to not look at the blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon us. And even in certain degrees, listen, you know this. We all know this. And I know I'm not just speaking to myself. Sometimes we can even look at the blessings that God gives us as a curse. Sometimes we can really start to take a look at the blessings that the Lord has given us as a burden. Even the material things. Those things now, all of a sudden, you know, God gives us, you know, an apartment or a house or a car. And then we got to pay for that stuff. You don't just get that stuff for free. You got to go to work. You got to pay for all that stuff. And then we start to complain. Oh, now I got to pay for it, Lord. Great. Now what are we going to do? Now we need a job to pay for it all. And then he gives us a job. Oh, great. Now I got to go to work. And now I got to work under this boss. He's kind of a hammer. Really treats me bad. Okay. And then you get a new boss or you get a different job. Oh, this job is so far away, Lord. I can't believe it. This is the human nature. This is what we do. This is what we do. All we do is we just start looking around at the things that the Lord is blessing us with, and then we start to become ungrateful. And God says, no, 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 no. Give thanks to the Lord of lords for his mercy. His mercy endures forever. How do you know that God is merciful? How do you know that he is good? Because when we sit there and we start to blaspheme in our heart and we start to doubt him in our heart and we start to complain against him in our heart, he doesn't just snatch the life right out of us right then and there. He gives us the ability to come to him and repent. And repent. To him alone who does great wonders. To him whom by wisdom made the heavens. To him who laid out the earth above the waters. How good is God? He's so good that he gave us dry land to walk on. So good that he caused the land to come right up out of the sea. Gave us dry land to walk on. To him who made great lights for the sun to rule the day. The moon and stars to rule the night. His creation proves out how good he is and how awesome he is and how excellent he is. The creation, all you need to do is just take a look out. Take a look out your window every once in a while. Every so often, look up. I do. Every so often when the night is really clear. Last couple of nights have been kind of dreary, but one or two nights this week it's been really clear. And from my house where I am, I can look straight up, man, and there's stars. You can just see them. I mean, just gazillions of them all over the world. That's a real number somewhere. Gazillions of them all over the place. They're everywhere. And you look up and you know what the Bible says those stars are? The Bible says those stars are the works of his fingers. That he went boop, 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 boop. Just turned them right on. Who struck Egypt for their firstborn and brought Israel out from among them. For his mercy endures forever. Egypt. Enslaving the children of Israel. Close to 400 years, gave them the option. Listen, Moses didn't just tell the children of Israel to put the blood over the lintel and on the doorpost. Moses went to who? Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh, this is how it's going to work. Death is going to come. All the firstborn of this entire nation are going to die tonight. But I'm telling you that if you put the blood on the doorposts and over the lintel, the angel of death will pass over any household that does that. How merciful is God? The nation that corrupted and enslaved his own people, he gave them the option to be saved. For the mercy, his mercy endures forever. Who divided the Red Sea, made Israel pass through, note this, the midst of it, right through the middle. Overthrew Pharaoh and his armies in the Red Sea, who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings and slew famous kings. Listen, you realize the miracle of the children of Israel walking around the desert for 40 years? You know what the Bible says? Their clothes didn't rot off. Their sandals didn't rot away. Their feet didn't swell. They didn't even have to feed themselves. They woke up every morning and it was manna time. The only thing they had to do was go out and get it. They had to go out and pluck it off the ground. Around and around and around they would walk for 40 years. And God took care of them. He gave them a pillar of cloud by day to keep them cool, and a pillar of fire by night to warm them up. His mercy endures forever. And they would deny him. They would worship false gods. He would open up the earth and swallow a couple of them up. Then they would start to murmur in their tents. And he would send in vipers. These vipers to bite those who were sinning. The murmurers. The ones that were in their tents. And the ones that were really sinning against the Lord. Or starting to go really awry in their hearts. He would send in the vipers. And they would start to bite them. But his mercy endures forever. What was the remedy? Look at the serpent. Look at the serpent and you'll be healed. That was the remedy. For his mercy endures forever. In verse 23, who remembered us in our lowly state. We think we're so powerful and tough. We're not. We are in a lowly state. And rescued us from our enemies. He is the Redeemer. He remembered us and he rescued us. For his mercy endures forever. Who gives food. Note this. To all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. He would say, consider the birds of the air. Consider the lily. They neither toil nor spin. Nor they gather into barns, but yet God feeds them. How much more does he love you? How much more is he paid for you? How much more does he give you and does he give me? Each one of us has gone through and walked through certain things in our life and in our age. We've gone through and we've had to endure certain hardships. You think back on your life, you just go through, you know, just the, I call them the file folders in your mind. You go through the records in your mind and the different ages of your life. Each one of us has gone through some very, very difficult things. And some of it has been self-imposed. Some of it has not. But all of those things in our life, all of those things that the Lord was using to get us to him, all of those things that the Lord was using to kind of frame out our character and to really chisel away at our character and use those things to kind of, you know, even the bad things, even the terrible things that happened to us, he can take all of those things and use those things to glorify his son in us. Are we grateful enough for that? Do we look back on our lives and we say, yeah, that was really, really tough. But now, man, there is no place I would rather be. To having seen what the Lord has done for me, even in that, even in the most difficult of times, how he held me, how he really was preserving us. Even when we thought it was going to never end. Even when we thought it was going to be hopeless. Even when we thought we were going to die. And we thought we were going to go to jail. Or we thought we were going to be broke. And the Lord comes through in those very last seconds. And he gives food to all flesh. gives food to all the flesh. He takes care of you. He takes care of me. And there is so much, listen to me, so much to be thankful for. So much. It is an endless list. You realize that? But when you don't know what to pray, listen, if you don't pray because you just don't know what to pray for, you got to stop and think. If you don't know what to pray for, you can always stop and start thanking the Lord. Start thanking the Lord for just really allowing you even the privilege to know him. The privilege to enter into his presence. The privilege, and not only that, but that we're heirs and co-heirs in Christ. And that the book of Revelation says that we're going to be priests and kings with him for how long? Forever. For his mercy endures forever. Man, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to God. For he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Finally, in verse 26, and the psalmist just cannot help but break out into a doxology. Oh, give thanks to the God of where? Heaven. The God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. So here's what I want to do. If that doesn't set the tone a little bit for what we want to talk about tonight, I got a microphone up here. If somebody wants to come up here and grab the mic, all I ask is that whatever you say, whatever you want to testify to, just keep it about you. You know, just keep it on you. Sometimes it can get, you know, some people want to come up here with a Bible and give us a 15-point sermon. Just keep it about you and just testify to the goodness of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And as we enter into this time of testimony and just of praise, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would even be with us here now in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.